What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with hogsports.com, HAWGsports.com. It's an important time for roster building and recruiting with the three major Arkansas sports that continues from last week's show. So we have some more to talk about. We're going to be joined by Kevin Bohannon to talk baseball, Connor Goodson to talk basketball, and I'm going to talk to you about the latest going on in recruiting. And, of course, we're projecting a lot of things now this time of year. It's talking season still, so we're projecting what's going to happen with Razorback football. And we're going to discuss, maybe take a look at the past, and discuss what the future could hold as well. All that and more on today's episode of Hawk Sports Live. The Crane Automotive team knows stretching your dollar is important. With prices at the pump, interest rates, and everything else, we focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection of crossover and hybrid vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com today. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive team.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make our Kansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane team. Visit craneteam.com.
Guys, they're gonna break any other dealer's price at Crane Team. Okay, real quick, congrats to Wyndham Clark winning the U.S. Open, his second U.S. Open, finished -4, which was better than the experts predicted, somewhere probably around even to -2. Sam Burns finishing second, and Tom Kim, the highest Korean finish ever in a U.S. Open, with third place at even par, tying with, who did he tie with? Keith Mitchell. I think he's the first U.S. Open, the first guy in the U.S. Open to finish even par in all four rounds, 70-70-70-70. House of the Dragons started last night. I don't know if you guys watched that, but that's kind of a big deal. Game of Thrones, new season coming out. I did not watch it. I'm in the process of watching. I rewatched all of Game of Thrones recently. All 8 seasons of it, and I'm in season two of episode one on House of the Dragon, rewatching that, and then I'm just going to kind of bleed into the start of season three. So I did not watch it yet. Dusty May is supposed to be the new head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know if that's been officially announced, but that's a pretty meteoric rise for Dusty May when you consider, coming from Florida Atlantic. What was that, 2024? 2023, maybe, not long ago, 2023, I think, and took them to the Final Four. I mean, and won a national championship with Michigan, and now he's with the Mavs. Some people are hoping maybe there's a chance for Darius Acuff, because we got the NBA draft tomorrow. That starts at 7 o'clock Central Time. That'll be Tuesday, June 23rd, and the draft order. So, obviously, we were watching Malik Thomas, Darius Acuff, and, of course, Trevin Brazil as well, expected to go somewhere in the second round. But the draft order is Washington, number 1, 2, Utah, 3, Memphis, 4, Chicago, 5, L.A. Clippers, 6, Brooklyn, 7, Sacramento. And we'll talk about Sacramento because we've seen some Razorbacks pop up for some mock drafts. 8, Atlanta from New Orleans, 9, Dallas, 10, Milwaukee, 11, Golden State, 12, Oklahoma City from L.A., 13, Miami, and 14, Charlotte. That's the lottery picks. And obviously, you go on, through 30 first-round draft picks and 60 total for the NBA draft. So right now, this is just looking at ESPN on their final latest mock draft. They have Darius Acuff going number 7 to Sacramento. Malik Thomas later going number 28 overall to Minnesota. So projecting 2 first-round draft picks for the Razorbacks. And then Trevin Brazil, 45th to Sacramento. That would be pretty cool. That would be kind of maybe like Oklahoma City, following a couple former Razorbacks. But Darius Acuff would obviously be maybe more of a star than any of them if he went number 7 to Sacramento, and then Trevin Brazil later in the second round. got picked up by Sacramento. But that's just one mock draft. Everybody's got differing opinions, obviously. Razorback recruiting offensive line train continues. This is the sixth offensive line commitment. Judah Gums, he picked Arkansas over Houston, Kansas, Wake Forest, Memphis, South Florida, Liberty, and others. So I like that approach, going out and getting a large number of offensive linemen. Like, if you're going to develop anyone within your program, it seems like offensive line would be the way to go. And, of course, Ryan Silverfield has an offensive line background. They have two offensive line coaches, obviously, and Johnson and Myers. So Judah Gums is the number 119 overall prospect in the state of Florida, 6'6", 290 pounds. We mentioned the offer list. I think Mississippi State was also one of those. I don't know if I mentioned them. But he took visits to Arkansas, Syracuse, Mississippi State, and Tulane. Arkansas also got the four-star offensive lineman we were talking about on Thursday's show. I think he committed later that Thursday. But Elijah Shaw out of Kansas, nice pickup for him. 6'8", 300 pounds or so, the number 31 offensive tackle prospect in the country, number 2 overall prospect in the state of Kansas. Also took an official visit to Wisconsin in addition to Arkansas, and several others targeted him. He's out of Blue Valley North in Leawood, Kansas. So another four-star addition for them on the offensive line, which they have a couple of those. Let's see right now. Before I get to that, let's talk about I don't know that we talked to about Kevin Grant. He also committed a defensive back. Seems like they're going very heavy defensive back, going heavy offensive line. UNLV, Tulsa, North Texas, San Diego State. That was the guy that didn't have the offer list, but was pretty highly regarded. Like, he's just a shade under four-star status as a number 451 overall prospect in the country, number 44 cornerback, number 59 overall in the state of Texas. I always say, like, you can get a top 100 guy out of Texas, that's usually going to be, you know, have a chance to be a pretty good player. So Keith Richmond remains as the number one. This is 20 commitments right now for the class. Okay, so we're thinking 20 to 25 high school recruits in a class, and who knows, on junior college, maybe they mix that in too. But Keith Richmond is the number one recruit in the class out of Pinson, Alabama. Arkansas's had some good players come out of Pinson before. It's a four-star. Elijah Shaw is now number 2 offensive lineman, also a four-star. Adefe Oruru, another four-star offensive lineman, is number 3. Jabari Watkins, an athlete out of Thomas County Central, 6'2", 180. Thinking wide receiver, but listed as an athlete. Also a four-star recruit. And Kevin Grant, who I just mentioned, who doesn't have an impressive offer list, but is a shade under four-star status. Then Jeremiah Dent at running back. John Caitlin, the 4th at cornerback. The other offensive lineman, Tegan Parizic, 6'6", 295 out of Hendersonville, Tennessee. Judah Gums, who we talked about. Henry Frazier out of Rogers, Arkansas, 6'4", 290. Bradley Sturdivant out of Sheridan, Arkansas, 6'3", 300. I think he was the first guy to commit. So very heavy on offensive line. I mean, Pittman always used to kind of say, like, he wanted to get 4 offensive linemen in a class, and never really did, I don't think. Maybe at the end, when Mateos finally got there, they started bringing in a good number of offensive linemen, but seemed to struggle doing that. I think maybe the first year they did that, and maybe Mateos's second year, you know, they brought in Courtney and Cherry and Prudhomme. I don't know if they got to 4 that year. So, anyway. The over-under for Arkansas football. Hey, first I'd like to tell you about our friends over at Biddle Armstrong. You guys know how much I value long-standing relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years, and when I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, when I needed business insurance for hog sports, I called Biddle Armstrong. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like auto owners insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy? Call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than a 1-800 number. Auto owners insurance intended it that way so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Biddle Armstrong a call at 479-443-4444. 800-888-0808 or visit ba-ins.com. Auto Owners Insurance owns an AM Best rating, A-plus superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. So do I. Biddle Armstrong Insurance. Coverage you need, people you trust. All right, so the over-under for Arkansas is 4.5 wins. That got me thinking, going back in the past, how good is Vegas at predicting Arkansas's win totals? Now, it's important to note that's not what Vegas is trying to do. They're not trying to predict the win total. They're trying to get even money on both sides. They want people betting the under. They want people betting the over. And then they take the juice off of it. So how right is it, though? Because people are obviously, you know, have a certain opinion. Like, oh, that's about right for Arkansas. And that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, 4.5 wins, it's probably not far off. But history says it probably is. In the last 20 years, guys, Arkansas against the over-under, it's just 5-15. Vegas is 5-15, predicting within a half game of that number. So, example, Vegas says 4.5 wins this year. If Arkansas ends up with 4 wins, that would qualify. Like, okay, they were pretty spot on. If Arkansas ends up with 5 wins, okay, they were pretty spot on there. You know what I mean? So right now they're saying 4.5 wins, but if you look back at the past 20 years, they haven't been very good. Again, 5-15. And it's actually, this was from one of our posters, totaled up. It's they're basically like 7-7 and basically like even on either side of it. It's not 7-7 and 4 or something like that. I can't remember what he said it was, but that doesn't add up to 20. But they're basically even. Or it does add up to 20. No, it doesn't. 18. Yeah. Okay. I was going crazy. But 7-7 and then whatever the other number is, I guess 6, but pretty even on predicting. Like, they don't overestimate or underestimate Arkansas. You know, they're just wrong a lot of times. So the only time that they like really projected future success was 2007? No, not 2000. I think it was Bobby Petrino year. 2009, I think that they actually projected that Arkansas would take a big leap forward. You know, usually it's like if they suck last year, they're going to suck again this year. I don't think that was the case Chad Morris's first year. I think they projected Arkansas maybe to have a little bit more success than they did, but that's not saying much because Arkansas was terrible. All right, let's go to Connor Goodson now. Connor's going to update us in the latest with Razorback basketball. If you don't follow Connor, you can, at Connor Goodson on X. He joins us on the Ozarks Go hotline. Where are you at? There you go, Connor. Connor joins us on the Ozarks Go hotline. You can reach out to them. It's 479-684-4900 if you're looking for fast, reliable, consistent internet service with incredible speeds and several different tiers of internet service also, one to fit just about every family. OzarksGo.net/hog, H-A-W-G. Connor, how's it going, bud?
Can't complain too much, Trey. How was the Father's Day weekend for you?
Oh, it was, you know, it was outrageous. It was just all my dreams were met, you know. I did get out and play golf yesterday morning, so that was nice. And then we went to dinner and, you know, I got a few gifts and stuff. So probably not too long for you to be celebrating stuff like that.
The wife's getting baby fever, so we're trying to enjoy this lifestyle while we have it.
Yeah. I would encourage you to do that. So Connor, what's going on? What's the latest?
Yeah. So obviously Arkansas basketball ended last week really strong with a commitment from Russian center, Ilya Frolov, the 6'11", 225 pound Russian big who played at Real Madrid in the Euro League. He played for their U22 squad, which is kind of like their developmental squad. It's their junior, quote unquote, junior team. Their senior team that competes in like the Euro League that everyone's famous, that is the famous club. He never played for that. He played kind of for their, I would equate it to the G League or a college team compared to an NBA team. So he's still very much a developmental guy. He just had his 18th birthday, just turned 18. So he's going to be a true freshman, still very, very young. But, you know, Calipari, what he's done with some of these bigs on the roster, he's swinging for the fences with potential and upside. And that is what Ilya Frolov has. Ilya is a big guy. He's got a large frame at 6'11", 225's nothing to scoff at. But for Arkansas's bigs, you kind of hope that he maybe adds 10, 15 pounds of functional strength and muscle before he's able to, you know, beat and bang with some of the SEC and other high major centers of the world. And I think that there's definitely a realm where he ends up doing that. Now, while this guy, I think, can come in and contribute immediately, and he's going to be part of the rotation, I feel like he's still probably a year or two away from being, you know, more of a fleshed out project and more of a, you know, closer to seeing his potential than he is right now. So certainly a developmental guy, but a lot of potential that you got like.
Yeah, just turned 18 years old also, but we need to see somebody down low who's like ready to go. Like, yeah. What's next? Is that guy still out there?
I think that Calipari believes that he's got enough guys in there for a front court that hasn't, you know, that he's got a bunch of different looks and a bunch of different archetypes that he can throw at different teams every night. But when you do take a swing at all this potential and guys that you hope that they pan out, there's a lot of risk that comes with that. If Mika Murinen doesn't pop, that's a big blow. If Paulo Semedo is not able to be a reliable contributor this year, that's a big blow. If Cooper Bowser's not ready to step up from playing, you know, low, high major or, you know, mid-major, you know, competition, if he's not ready to step up to high major, that's a big concern for sure. And I think that Calipari believes that all those guys are ready to take that next step and contribute this year, and that he's got enough talent in the front court and on the wing to kind of, you know, maybe mask some of their deficiencies. But I do think that they're kind of missing that more of a defensive anchor type guy who can come in and bully and, you know, be that paint protector, be that guy who's a paint patroller and really kind of, you know, sinks his teeth into being that defensive, you know, bully in a way. And I think that that's out there. If you read my article this morning, I had some more information on that. The guy that we've talked about here, Caleb Urigo, I think that he's a guy that they're looking at to possibly do that, who's obviously young, potential reclass, all that. But he's the guy that I'm looking at that maybe can fit that mold a little bit more than some of the guys that they have right now.
Yeah. Well, Mika Murinen is popping.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you.
he
you heard it here first. He's good. But he's not a paint protector. He's not right. that big guy in the middle. You hope one of these guys, like you said, pops, or they find somebody who does. 2027 recruiting, Connor, what's going on there? And any scheduling updates? I was a little surprised that we didn't hear, the SEC, slate after you had mentioned they put the women's out, but they didn't put the men's out.
Yeah. So normally this time last year, or this time of year, is when the SEC will announce their home and away slates for both men's and women's. Women's got announced last year, so naturally you'd expect the men's to follow. And we were kind of anticipating that last week that they would do that, and it kind of came and went, and we didn't hear anything about it. We did hear that Arkansas's doing the Bahamas tour deal down at the Bahamas Resort. They're going to play four games and of exhibition competition against, you know, international teams and Canadian universities and things like that, which is kind of like, if you guys remember, under Eric Musselman, they went overseas to, I think, Italy and Spain, and they did a European tour where they played a bunch of, you know, lower, you know, international clubs.
I always thought it was funny that one time, that one game, Connor, it was like they thought they were going to play this one team and they end up playing this other team.
Yeah.
And you can just imagine, like, this kind of, like, you know, dirty European guy. No, you're going to play this other team now. This would be very good for you. You play this team.
Yeah. And with how much Eric Musselman likes to prep, we all kind of know how that probably went with all that. So,
right. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. So, but it sounds like that they're still finalizing that. I don't know if they'll have that kind of issue with some of the under the table, like, you know, rug pull on, hey, you might play this team, but we're actually going to, you know, 5 minutes before tip off, you're actually playing this team. I don't think that you'll have to worry about any of that this time. It sounds like they're more of a legit operation down there with what this tournament and exhibition tour is. So that's exciting for Arkansas. Definitely. There's still a couple of announcements we're waiting on for the regular season for some a possible big name coming to Bud Walton Arena. You're looking at, you know, obviously finishing out the rest of the non-conference with teams that you would think that Arkansas, not, I wouldn't want to say buy games, but, you know, get games that Arkansas is maybe paying guys to come to Bud Walton, those mid-major type opponents. You're still finishing out the schedule with that. And so I think the first domino to fall is we're waiting on this SEC slate to finalize. And I'm really interested to see where Arkansas goes and who they play in the SEC slate, because the right now the home slate for the non-conference isn't looking very great. You're seeing Arkansas go to a lot of premier, you know, neutral side events, but you don't really have that marquee Bud Walton non-conference game. So you kind of hope that they get a lot of, you know, A-tier teams on that conference schedule to make up for it and really help Bud Walton be that environment that we know it can be.
Baja Mar also should attract a pretty decent Arkansas following for those looking for a late summer vacation. That's the place with the pigs. You can like where they have the pigs in the ocean and the clear water, and everybody's taking their picture with the pigs and stuff. So I'm sure you're going to see a lot of that from Razorback fans and players and stuff. I'm sure they'll absolutely do that too. What were the big marquee games last year in Fayetteville? Louisville was in Fayetteville.
Louisville was the big like non-conference game. You had Tennessee coming in early in the SEC slate. I'm trying to think of who else came in.
They played Duke. They played Michigan State. They played Texas Tech. Where was Texas Tech?
That was in Dallas. So it was Dallas, kind of home away from home. But
where was Houston?
Houston was up in Newark, I believe. Yeah. That was that Newark December game. Right.
So they played a lot of marquee teams, but really just Louisville in the non-conference in Fayetteville. Yeah. Which, I mean, I get why you do that if you're Calipari. You want to get your team, you know, tournament ready, put them at different locations and stuff like that. But it sure is nice to be able to go watch them, you know, in Arkansas play a marquee opponent. And last year, you know, the Louisville game was 89-80 last year.
And I think a lot of people are disappointed because last year we expected Baylor to kind of return that game to Bud Walton. They still owe Arkansas a return game. We heard that was going to be Bud Walton, and they end up buying it out. And so that was a little disappointing. And then this year you expected Michigan State, because you went up to Breslin Center last year, you expected them to return it. And it turns out that they're doing the neutral side up in Detroit again this year instead of coming to Bud Walton. They're supposed to come to Bud Walton next season. We'll see if that shakes out like it's supposed to. But, it is a little disappointing. I think it says a lot about Bud Walton and how difficult it is to play that they're having trouble getting some of these marquee teams to actually follow through and come here and play.
Well, in 24, I guess, but who did they play in non-conference then in Fayetteville? They played the marquee games were Illinois. That wasn't in Fayetteville. They played at Miami. They played Michigan. I don't remember where that was, but
that was in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, that was not.
They played Kansas in the charity exhibition game in Fayetteville.
Yeah.
They didn't. I don't think that they had a marquee game in non-conference. They played Baylor in Dallas. Yeah, I think the biggest non-conference game, if you'd call it that, might be Little Rock, since it's an in-state team, or Troy. Really, or UTSA. Those were really the first season of the biggest non-conference games in Fayetteville. But you also had heavy hitters like, you know, Ole Miss coming to town, Florida in that early season. You obviously had Texas with you get the home and away with Texas. You get Alabama as well at home. So there were some heavy hitters in that conference schedule to make up for the lack of non-conference. But last year it was kind of, I would say it was a little disappointing. You obviously had that Kentucky game in Fayetteville also that I forgot to mention last year. But I'm hoping that we get a lot of fun and interesting matchups for Bud Walton this year.
All right, Connor. Appreciate you hopping on.
All right. Appreciate you, Trey.
All right, everybody. That's Connor Goodson. Follow him at Connor Goodson on X and read his content at hogsports, hawgsports.com. Okay. Hey, Blakeman's Fine Jewelry is proud to be the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Ben Blakeman and his team had an exciting year in their new flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers and are continuing their signature hospitality and service in 2026. Visit them. They'll offer to clean your jewelry, offer you a cup of coffee or a coffee beverage from Cafe B, or their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which, by the way, is offered at various stores in Northwest Arkansas. If you can't make it, did you also know that you could shop them online at blakemansfinejewelry.com? They offer delivery, by the way. So, built on tradition since 1987, Blakeman's has been Northwest Arkansas's trusted destination for exceptional jewelry and personalized service. Again, the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Kevin Bohannon about to join us here now on the Ozarks Go hotline, but I see Kevin hopped out of his seat for a second. So when he gets back in his seat, Kevo, we will continue. Let's see what kind of questions we got in the meantime. So we ask questions every week. Of course, you can leave your comments, and we do them on the Razor's Edge Premium Forum. The first one is from Joshua 11. Says, Trey, do you think the state of Arkansas could support a 20,000-seat-plus baseball stadium for the Razorbacks? Financial support could come from the university and taxes, just a thought. I think they would probably do better to continue, like, luxury seating for baseball. Like, I don't think that they – that. I don't think that you could support 20,000. You know, baseball, as we've talked about before, probably it loses about $3.5 million a year as it stands. And a lot of people, I don't think, realize that, even with all the suites and you know, the seating and, you know, packing out 11,000 people and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know that you're going to see 20,000 seats at the baseball stadium anytime soon. But they're definitely not going to come from taxes. You mentioned financial support could come from the university and taxes. They're not. The university has not taken money from taxpayers in terms of athletics ever. It's a self-sustaining athletic department, so that's not going to happen. All right, let's go to Kevin Bohannon now. K-Bo, how's it going, brother?
It's going, man. We're wrapping up some transfer portal stuff and getting ready for the MLB Combine.
Getting ready for the MLB Combine, absolutely. And what do we got? Just, 8 days left for the transfer portal? To be open, you can come out of it anytime, but to enter it. Are we seeing a bunch of players enter the transfer portal still?
Not really. It's really fallen off. You're seeing more of the teams that just finished up their season in Omaha or the Super Regionals. Mm-hmm. Those teams have 30 days from end of their season. So whoever loses tonight, well, both teams actually, Oklahoma and North Carolina, they will have 30 days from June 23rd. So They'll have till July 23rd to enter the transfer portal.
They don't need that much. First of all, like, you can do this in a week.
Yep.
10 days most. Yep. If you want to enter the portal, then enter the portal. And then after that, like, the guys who are, you know, who are still playing, they can enter the portal when they want, you know, like, they get 10 days after their season ends. Like, yeah. It's the same with football. Like, you don't need all this time to enter the transfer portal.
No, it's ridiculous. And especially with the timeline being the way it is, because you got the draft is the 11th through the 13th, and then they have to sign by August the 1st. And then you get everybody on campus and you have to have your 34 done. So Teams like Dave Van Horn, who went and got 10 guys from the portal so far, five of those are draft eligible. They're going to add some more pieces, no doubt, and go from there. If those guys get drafted, you're kind of left, you know, all right, we got to go with what we got right now and hope some high school kids or some kids on campus step up. I just do not like the timeline, the way it is set up, and I've made my recommendation. My recommendation would be do it from the end of the season till the first of the draft. After that, it's done. That way everybody can have their roster set up and they can move on. It would help kids to be able to know where they're going as well on the high school front, because there's going to be some of those 11 that signed with Arkansas that are told, well, we don't need you right now. We need you to go to JUCO or some other school.
Hey, Kevin, I wanted to talk to you about this, about the MLB proposing that beginning in the 2028 draft, domestic amateur players must be at least 20 years old by September 1st. What are your thoughts on that, and what could that do for college sports?
It would turn college baseball into the lower levels of minor league baseball. Mm-hmm. That is what a lot of people that I've talked to, and it would take a lot of scouting. It would eliminate a lot of jobs in the scouting department because there are just scouts that look at high school players right now. So there would be a lot of jobs eliminated right there. MLB thinks it could save a little bit of money by doing this. It would basically, you know, it would eliminate a couple of minor league programs, minor league organizations as well. They did the last time they dropped it from 40 to 20 rounds. And there are some kids that do not need to go to school. And they, and just like Bryce Harper, Bryce Harper went to junior college his senior year. Mm-hmm. And then was able to go in the draft. He wanted a higher level of competition his senior year. It was about getting to the MLB in the quickest timeline possible, and that's what he did. I don't like it because it takes a lot of guys that were drafted in the later rounds, you know, and it puts them – maybe they don't get drafted, you don't get to hear about them. Guys like Mike Piazza, guys like Jacob DeGrom, who was a shortstop coming out of Stetson that was drafted, and they just took a chance on him. You know, you're going to have some guys that blossom and develop at a later pace, later rate, that you're not going to get those chances anymore. And I just don't like it for the sport.
Yeah. Well, do you think it could elevate college baseball in terms of the quality of player?
It could, and it could add some more parity, but then you got to get with the NCAA and say, okay, are we going to keep the roster limits at 34, or do you have to expand them to 40 again? Because you're going to have, 50 to 100 more players that are
coming
in.
You have a lot of players that would be displaced otherwise.
Yeah, they would be displaced. So it would be a trickle-down effect. So those top 50 to 100 guys that sign out of high school every year and see where they go, mm-hmm. and then it just takes it on down from there. I brought up the point, and I was like, well, there's the JUCO loophole. Guys that do what Harper did and go to JUCO for a year and then go straight to the draft, because you can be eligible for the draft as soon as after your whatever year JUCO that you're in.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah. You lose out on that NIL. Yeah, yeah, could be interesting. So who's left to get?
All right, so
let's get back to roster building.
Yeah, Nolan Traeger, catcher from TCU, he has been announced as he's going to be an Arkansas Razorback in the Cape Cod League. What has held that up? Paperwork. There is a process that these players have to go to and fill out all their paperwork, transferring from school to school, making sure they clear the clearinghouse, and going through in all the NIL negotiations and everything. So there was some paperwork that was held up. We should hear that announcement on the commitment anytime. Next two or three days, I would suspect that's when that happens. They need to get another pitcher, Trey. They do. Another starting pitcher. And the starting pitching this year in the transfer portal has not been as high level as it has the previous 3 years. And I think guys are just taking a chance on staying at the school that they're currently at, or they're good. So it's been a little weird as far as the – upper end guys. There's no Paul Skeens, there's no Zach Roots or Landon Bible Cheese out there this year. So Arkansas, as far as starting pitching goes, Luke Nyswanger, he's going to be a potential starter next year. Connor Udland from Houston. Other than that, and Michael Malky, of course, but I think there's a chance he could go in the draft. He's a top 100 on 64 analytics and a top 25 player on by Baseball America. I think he has a shot to be a Friday night guy for Arkansas next year. So out of the 10 players, 5 pitchers, 3 infielders, 2 outfielders so far.
What about the combine? We'll wrap you up with that.
Yeah.
MLB combine coming up.
Yeah. Combine's going to be fun. I'm going to cover it. I'll have some coverage at hogsports.com. There's 7 players, the 2 position guys with Camden Kozel, Ryder Helfrich. Then you got pitchers Carson Wiggins, Gabe Gackel, Hunter Dietz, Ethan McElvain, Colin Fisher. Those are the guys that are going to be representing the University of Arkansas at the Combine. A lot of it is the physical measurements and the team interviews. There will be some on-field stuff. There will be some bullpens that these guys throw that we'll be able to report on. I've talked to some MLB clubs in the front offices already. While they can't give me some stuff, they can give me tidbits that I can kind of read between the lines on who they're meeting with. So I'll be able to kind of let it go out there of who met with whom, as far as like who met with Hunter Dietz, who met with Ryder Helfrich. Those guys are expected to go in the first round. It's going to be really important to see who is really heavy on those guys.
All right, Kebo. Appreciate you, brother.
All right. Thanks, Trey.
All right, everybody. That's Kevin Bohannon. Follow him at Kebo Baseball Guru on X. Read his content at Hog Sports, HAWGSports.com. Okay, so World Cup, Turkey and Arkansas, Thursday, June 25th, 9 o'clock. The next World Cup game, United States is 2-0 right now. And you can bet on all the World Cup stuff at Bet Saracen, if you didn't know. And if you use the promo code BIDDY250, capital B, lowercase IDDY, 250, and put $25 down on your first bet when you sign up at Bet Saracen, you will get $250 in bonuses to bet on Bet Saracen back added to your account. So pretty sweet deal right now. Obviously, all the World Cup stuff, still college baseball with North Carolina and Oklahoma. What's that next game? When is that coming up? Is that tonight? Maybe? I don't know. MLB, of course, all that stuff, futures for college football. There's even games to bet on. Also, they've already got betting lines out for several of the marquee early games. Arkansas's number one sports betting app, the local guys.
Sounds like those big out-of-state sports betting apps finally found Arkansas.
So now Bet Saracen is the only true local sports app and still Arkansas's fan fave.
Bet Saracen was made by Arkansans for Arkansans.
Just look at Fayetteville, where Saracen Casino, they're partnered with Hogs football, basketball, and baseball.
And Bet Saracen is also the official sports app for the ASU Red Wolves, UA Little Rock Trojans, and many others.
So bet with Arkansans. Bet Saracen.
All right. Again, check out our friends over at Bet Saracens. The local guys. Okay. Let's get to some questions now. Willie B. Hardigan is always active. Someone breaks into your house, tickles you for 5 minutes straight, did not hurt anyone or steal anything, and then just walked out. Would you file a police report? Yes. Why is that a question? Appreciate that, Willie. All right, next up. So Arthur R06D says, KJ is a proven quarterback. I took the over. I think I'm going to put more on it. So I don't know where you see that he's proven. I know that he's played, obviously. Let's look at his stats. But has he ever been in a situation where the game is on the line? He's not, short answer. So last year he ended up going 33 of 54, 441 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, was sacked twice. He had 11 carries for 52 yards and 2 touchdowns. If you look at his game log, he obviously came in. Most of his time was against Texas. He came in against Texas when the game was pretty much over, 16 to 29, 55.2% with 1 touchdown. Also ran 4 times for 17 yards and another touchdown. He played well. The game wasn't on the line. The game was already decided. Against Missouri, he got the start and didn't really continue playing. I don't know why he didn't play more after. I mean, he was 11 of 17, 64.7% with a touchdown, and also had 4 carries for 14 yards, but came out of the game, and basically they went with Taylen Green the rest of the way. And not really sure why exactly, but the thing with KJ, and I like him to be the starting quarterback. I think he will be the starting quarterback. But there's still a lot of unknown because there hasn't been that pressure situation where the game is on the line and you got to go win the game. He hasn't been in that scenario yet. So that would be the only thing, which is a big thing, that you know just leaves me unsettled. Arthur says, look at his QBR against other quarterbacks, bro. Sappertech says, Trey, do you think Cramsey's offense produce in the SEC? I'm actually more worried about the scheme than KJ's ability. I think that the scheme would have been a really good fit for Taylen Green. I think it would have fit him well. You're going to see a lot of short passing game, a lot of quick passing game, throws to the flats, swing passes, RPO game, a good bit of that, screens. You're going to see a lot of that stuff. They'll take it downfield some, but you're just going to see a lot of throws, you know, short passes, which, you know, can help build some confidence. But, you know, they're going to have a lot of runs off those, you know, a lot of RPO stuff too. So, yes, that will it's going to be different. You know, it'll be a different offense than what we've seen in the past with Bobby Petrino. Okay. Trey, are you going to take the over for Rick? If you're going to take over for Rick and Randy when they retire from Drive Time, so I don't know if they'll ever retire. I've been doing Drive Time for like 20 years, but I don't have any plans to take over Drive Time. No, I don't. I'm good with my regular guest spot, which I've been doing again for 20 years, which basically is about 20 minutes of my day. I get on at usually starts right at 5:07, and then 5:27 the segment is over. So. No plans to do that, nor do I hear any plans for either of them to retire. Okay. We don't have any more questions. See if we got one more. Kind of a light load for me today. This is from Live and Guy. Trey, does the university have ability to stay on pace with other SEC schools over time in terms of NIL pay-for-play/revenue sharing? Is staying in the upper half of the SEC feasible, or might this be a losing battle? If Arkansas starts winning and people see like, okay, this is something I feel I can support, because right now you get a lot of people that are just like, they're never going to be good. It's over. We can't compete. And you see a lot of that, but you see Ole Miss, you see what happened when they had some success. They got behind Lane Kiffin. They supported with NIL. If you start having some success, then yeah, people will get behind it. I mean, look at Indiana. Indiana had success, and you know, they had some NIL funds, but nothing spectacular, but they had success. People saw that and they're like, let's get behind, you know? So yeah, in a way it's kind of backwards, like, because, you know, most people will preach that you need to fund NIL to have success. That's what they did at Texas Tech. They didn't have just like this high level of success and they're like, okay, I see this, let's get behind it. They just went and did it. You know, they had some big money people get behind them. Other programs like Indiana had success, and then people were like, okay, let's support these guys. And that support continues. Let's keep this going. This is a good thing. So that can happen. Yeah, you can, but you have to have success. It's got to be backwards. You're going to have to strike. You're just going to have to hit with some guys that you recruit and find basically a star at quarterback. And something to really carry the momentum forward to where people do support, because $25 million might get it done right now, but it's not going to get it done next year in terms of being middle of the pack, slightly upper middle of the pack or whatever. It's not in the SEC anyway. It's not going to get it done the year after that either. Jake Brumley says, is this Monte Harrison's year? Would like to see him have a good year. He was beat up a good bit in the springs. They're just not recovered, I guess, from the foot injury. But the guy's got a lot of potential. I mean, I think he could have a decent year. And we've kind of forgotten about him because he has been, you know, beaten up a little bit. And this is from Joshua 11. Trey, do you think the state of Arkansas could support? Oh, I got that one already. You just did it twice. Okay. Yeah. They're not going to use taxpayer money to add on to this baseball stadium, which they just recently did. All right, everybody. I want to thank you for joining me. We've got some more stuff coming up at Hog Sports, and should be some news on SEC scheduling coming later. Connor Goodson will have more on that, and we'll be back with you guys on Thursday. All right. Appreciate you. This has been Trey Biddy with HogSports.com. We'll catch you next time.